the newspapers for my view of partnership as I described Frank. We've had terrible problems in this area of trust. I do not want to have to tiptoe around WDI, Imagineering, the way I have to tiptoe around animation. I can't be shut out in the parks the way I am shut out in live-action features. Eisner paused to collect himself. I might consider it down the road if you earn it. Let's see how it goes. I'm not going to audition for you, Katzenberg countered. Not after 19 years. You should know me by now. It wasn't just Eisner who had problems with Katzenberg becoming president, Eisner added, but Roy and other members of the board. You have a serious problem with Roy, he reminded him. Why, for someone who wines and dines the press, the Spielbergs, the agents, can't you perform talent relations with Roy? Give me 60 to 90 days, Katzenberg replied. It's done. It will take years. Give me the job of president for 2 years, and if it doesn't work out, fire me, Katzenberg suggested. No. They were at an impasse. Finally, Eisner spoke. Are you saying to me that if I do not commit to you now that within 60 to 90 days you will be president of the Walt Disney Company, you will leave? Correct, Katzenberg answered. Eisner rose from his seat and walked out, followed closely by Katzenberg. They turned and headed in opposite directions. The account of the lunch meeting is an amalgam of both Katzenberg's and Eisner's versions, including Eisner's description of the meeting in a letter to Irwin Russell written just afterward. While they disagree about the precise wording and sequence of the dialogue, their versions are consistent as to the substance of the conversation. As soon as he got back to his office, Eisner called Sandy Litvak, his latest confidant. He told him what happened, and told him to go see Katzenberg and calm him down. He didn't want a crisis with Katzenberg so soon after Wells' death. Then he called Stanley Gold and told him that Katzenberg was threatening to quit, was holding a gun to his head. He called Irwin Russell. He was still on the phone when Litvak returned, shaken, in Eisner's view, by his encounter with Katzenberg. Litvak reported that Katzenberg had flown into a rage, ranting that, I am Michael Eisner. I am better than Michael Eisner was 10 years ago. I will be Michael Eisner, if not here, somewhere. Litvak urged Eisner to fire him that very day. Instead, Eisner took the opposite tack. He didn't want Katzenberg to control the sequence of events. He'd flatter him, calm him down, diffuse the situation. He asked Katzenberg to come to his office. I'm sorry the conversation was so difficult, he said, referring to their lunch. You are a fantastic executive, and you have an outstanding future. Now is not the time to discuss all these things. Eisner said it was all he could do to deal with the funeral, memorial service, and business over the short term. They again discussed Katzenberg's strained relations with Roy and ways he might improve them. But Eisner's feelings toward Katzenberg were still close to the surface. That evening, Eisner called Ovitz. Drop whatever you're doing and come over, he said. When Ovitz arrived, he, Eisner, and Jane sat in the study, where Eisner's cook served them dinner. Without any preliminaries, Eisner said, I can't take any more. After summarizing the day's events, he launched into a long tirade against Katzenberg. He lied. He had no character, no integrity, no education. Roy hated him.